Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the sky above us for this week.
Good morning, everybody.
Ah, hold on. Too funny. There we go. I should make that. I, you know, settings and all of those kinds of things in different programs have all changed. For example, before there was a big update, if I were to set up the recording for this morning, a show, it would automatically end because I set the timing to end. When I end the broadcast, it should end the stream. Unfortunately, YouTube changed that, and now it just keeps streaming until I remember to go back in and stop the stream. And this morning, I noticed suddenly, actually, no, I noticed this on Friday, suddenly Google Chrome has decided when and where I can go on the internet. Going to dump that one very quickly as soon as I make sure that any other browser I go to isn't going to decide where I get to go on my computer. So crazy, we're becoming more and more controlled by companies that try to tell us where we can go, what content we can see, what they constitute as safe versus what I think is safe. For example, this morning I was trying to go to a website that I go to every day, Evernote, and it is where I keep all of my notes, et cetera, et cetera. And it suddenly told me that there was something wrong in the connection there, that there was malware. And I'm like, oh, I know there isn't. So anyway, too weird, right? What a way to start the day. What a way to start the week. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend. We had a wedding to go to on Saturday evening. It was out on the water, looking over the bay in Bellingham, ocean behind us. Well, actually in front of me, but behind the bride and groom with the islands out there and the sun coming down. It was really rather beautiful. Followed by the next day, a phone call that said, my sister's boyfriend has COVID, and now we all have maybe been exposed by COVID. Yay. Yay. So now my husband is home today because he can't go to work till he knows for sure that nobody at the wedding was positive for COVID. And oh Lord, just this virus. I am so done with it. Please go away. We were all masked, so we should all be fine. One blood test or swab has just come back negative. Yay. So we are relatively certain that we're okay. But I'll tell you, that was a thing yesterday, right? To wake up to that with Pluto now going in forward motion, major planets changing direction or coming to a standstill just before they change direction. Always when there's the possibility for a crisis or for some bad news or for things to happen, right? Energies to break through. Well, I'm going to check in and just say good morning to everybody that's popping in. Did I not launch Zoom? Am I not live? I am. There's everybody. Good morning, Pauline. Good morning, J-Lo and Mimi and Ingrid and Asa. Good to see you, Amy. And J-Lo says, hello, Astro family. Debbie Hedden. Oh my gosh, it's great to see you out there. So happy to see you. That must mean that life is getting a little bit smoother for you. Pauline, truth revealed and subterfuge disguised as truth. Isn't that the truth? Mimi, oh my, COVID is our bane in 2020. But I got to tell you guys something, and this, I haven't sat with this long enough to really understand what this might all mean, but I had signed myself up for this series of astrology webinars, I guess you could call them. It was a summit, so of different people, you know, presenting different materials and what have you. And of course, because of the wedding and everything going on this weekend, I really didn't have time to really focus much on it. And I mean, I had to watch the Seahawks win yesterday, so I really couldn't tell, you know, do a whole lot of that focused on the one thing. But the one thing that I did watch on Saturday was so fascinating because they were talking about the coronavirus. And they were talking about how when we go through major elemental shifts, which we're about to, right, in the 1700s, we went through an elemental shift from water to earth, And then now we're getting ready to shift out of Earth and into air. And that's primarily from the Jupiter-Saturn conjunctions that occur. And on a regular basis, they go through an element. And that is about 240 years or so. And then they shift elements and they go into another element. And it always changes fundamentally the way that society is working. And one of the astrologers was showing us a work of art. And it was the epitome of what the Earth age of Jupiter and Saturn coming together was all about: greed, wealth, ostentatiousness. And it was a painting. I did not hear whose painting it was, so forgive that, but it was a painting of the coronation of Josephine and Napoleon, and the Pope was sitting there, and I mean, the painting has all of these people and her being coronated, coronated, right? A corona, meaning a crown, a coronation occurring. And that was the significator of the change of the age, right? The age moving from water into air or to earth and what that would signify. Well, here we have at the same time, just at this bridging time before we go into the new element of air for the next 240 some years, 20 till 2199. So what's that? 200 years almost. Of the coronavirus, right? We no longer have kings and queens. And so there isn't this torch, you know, being carried on from water into, or from earth into air, that would be, you know, seen through royalty or nobility. But the coronavirus, isn't that interesting? Like crowning the new energies of air. Viruses move through the air or through droplets. Very fascinating, if you ask me, that it's like life imitating art. You could take the symbols of the time and you can apply that to the energies of the time. And it's just an amazing fit, right? And the webinar went on to talk about, you know, the coronavirus and other things to look out for. A lot of the webinars were sort of about the USA elections and what's happening in the astrology of the USA against the USA's chart, because it seems that, you know, we're ground center for a lot of the changing energies, because those last energies that changed from water to earth happened at about the same time of the birth of this country. And now we're going into this next level. So it's just so many things kind of coming together, creating change and an evolutionary time. And we just happen to be alive here in all of this. We get to be the witnesses, maybe silently standing back, but also very much aware of something big that's happening, moving through society, moving through our culture, moving through the very fabric of consciousness here on the planet. It's pretty interesting. All right, so let's take a look at what is happening in the sky today. And then we'll take a look at what is happening from the week ahead, and also some other news that I forgot to share on Friday, and that is that there has been a nodal shift in our human design. So we have the node shift to talk about, the week ahead, and today's astrology. So there's really not a terrible week ahead of us, but I think it is one that is of great importance and one for us to really be worth watching and understanding who we are during the week. So, you know, some weeks are all like horns and blaring guns and things like that, right? Guns blazing. And it's like very obvious, wow, all this stuff is happening, right? And we can see that there is an astrological correlation to the events that are happening here on the planet. Well, this week's energy is a lot more subtle than that. Yes, there are a couple of big transits. There aren't any other ingresses, meaning planets changing signs or planets changing direction for that matter. But there are other things that have been already launched into action, launched into play, that are the driving forces of the week. And then you have a couple of things peppered along the way. So while I don't think it's a drama sort of week, they're not adding new traumas and new dramas to the week, let's say, there is this rise and fall of the dramatic energy through the undercurrents of the week. So let's see what that might mean for all of us. Today, we start the day with the moon in Taurus, and very early in the day for us here on the West Coast anyway, 11:41 a.m., the moon will turn into the void and be that way until 9:03 p.m. this evening. For those of you on the East Coast, that means at about 2:40 this afternoon until after midnight, the moon will be in void. So for those of you on the East Coast, your day is primarily done by the time, almost done by the time you get there to the void. For all of us on the West Coast, it's going to be an earlier void, which means if you have things you want to get done, do it this morning, because later this afternoon, it's that wandering time of the moon where we may just feel like we're stirring our coffee, right? Coffee stir, and not much happening, not much going on, not much going anywhere. So after 9:03 p.m. tonight, or midnight 03 for those of you on the East Coast, the moon will move into the sign of Gemini, changing up again the energy that is available for the day and the week. The moon in Taurus, remember, is sensual. It is down to earth and practical. It's sort of dug in. It likes the idea of loyalty and steadfastness and, you know, that ground beneath your feet sort of feeling, like there's not a lot of things that are upended. They like that steadiness, that flow of routine, etc. Gemini, however, completely different sign, a sign of the air, a sign of communication and of the mind and of being busy, right? There's a busyness to the sign of Gemini. Today, the moon, however, before it gets into the sign of Gemini, the moon will trine both Pluto and Saturn. This is what I meant by some of the more subtle energies, perhaps, that are affecting us. As Pluto, of course, changed directions on last week, Saturn changed directions. So we have a trine by the moon, our emotional soul or soul-based self, in a trine with these major players who've just recently changed directions. So nothing like flagrant and out there and in your face, but some subtle shifting going on between your inner expression while those planets were in retrograde to your more outer world expression of these energies now that they are not retrograde. So today, basically, we have a kind of confidence in all will be well. Right? All is well. All will be well. Thank you, God. That's kind of my mantra when I'm upset, is I will repeat that consistently, just all will be well. Thank you, God. All is well. All will be well. Thank you, God. So yesterday, even in the midst of the crazy chaos, finding out you might have been exposed to a virus that, anyway, all is well. All will be well. Thank you, God. In this moment, I feel fine, right? There's nothing wrong with me. I'm good. So I think all of us have that sort of inner voice that's telling us all will be well, even if it looks crazy. The trine to Saturn will be the last aspect that the moon makes before she moves on into the void. So here we have conservation of energy. We have a stability that we are left with, or we feel anyway that stability is within reach. Like if I just reach out, I might be able to grab it and hold on to it. And there's also then the need to conserve emotion and emotional outbreaks during this period of time. Not that we're not feeling the emotion, or that we're not exposed to the emotion, but that we're conserving our emotional response to things. And instead of reacting, we might be waiting to see where is something leading us before we actually jump in and make our emotional state known to the world. Standing back and watching and waiting, recognizing that, you know, there may be more to the story than what we're hearing or seeing, that more may be revealed as time goes on. So we're staying out of the fray today. And at least that is what can really serve you best, making sure that you're not being overly emotional, but yet not because you're in one low mood, but because there's actually just this little glimmer of hope out there, right? This little glimmer, this little sliver that we're coming to the end of something. And that when we get to that end, we all collectively look back and say, we went through something, right? It's almost like we can band together in the experiences of this very tremendous time of change on the planet. And maybe that brings us more together out of that separation feeling and more into that unified feeling of emotion, being more able to tap into the emotions that we are feeling. So that is today. That is it basically with the moon today. Now, Venus and Jupiter are doing quite the little dance today. And I can see the effects of this now as I look back over the last couple of days in my own life and in people that I love around me and what they're experiencing from what some of you have shared with me as to what you're experiencing. And that is this Venus in a sesquiquadrate to Jupiter. A sesquiquadrate is just a word that recognizes there's a relationship between these two planets that's a bit tension filled, right? It's a 135 degree angle. It is a square plus a half a square. So a square being a 90 degree angle plus an extra half a square, 45 degrees. So now we have 135 degrees between Venus and Jupiter. So we have a struggle here, a little bit of a struggle. Anytime you have a square, anytime you have a half a square or a square and a half, you have a struggle. You have the struggle now between these two benefic planets to deliver our true desires to the world, to deliver them to ourselves, maybe. Maybe we still are in discovery phase. What are our true desires? And what is it that truly motivates us to do what we do, to be who we are out in the world? And in that, we also have to manage our impulsiveness, because sometimes, you know, with Jupiter involved, we can go too far too fast. So we want to manage or tend to, because we have a tendency to want to overdo, to overcommit, to overextend, we need to be very careful that we don't promise more than we can deliver, either to the outer world or anybody in the outer world, or even to ourselves, right? We are having to really, if we're not doing it by choice, then the universe is going to be pushing you in this particular instance to get some clarity around what you really desire, what's really most important to you. Remember, Mars is retrograde right now, and we've all had this ability at this point to reimagine ourselves, to go back within and to see what is our truth? Where do we really come down on who we are and what we want to do with our lives? We may have felt kind of constrained by what we see that other people may have wanted from us or for us, but in the end, it isn't up to them. In the end, it comes down to what do you want? How do you want to run your life? So these little scritchy and annoying transits that happen cause us to reevaluate that. So today we have this big one with Venus and Jupiter. And I say big because they're our feel-good planets, and they're the ones that are making us struggle at the moment. So to me, this is more momentous than a Pluto-Saturn trouble, because we're always having that, right? Venus and Jupiter, we can usually count on for optimism and hope and love and money and good relationships. But today, not the case, right? Today, and maybe even a little bit over the last couple of days and on through maybe the next couple of days, these two are causing us to reevaluate, right? What it is that our desires are. Am I lined up and in the way of my good? There you have it. That's a great way to look at it, actually. Am I standing in the way? I mean, like, can I receive my good? Or am I in the way of it, as in a block to it, right? Blocking the way? Or am I arms outstretched? You can't see my arms, but are my arms outstretched, ready to receive the good that is running to me? Great question. Great graphic. All right, let's look at the week ahead. Really, again, it's not that big of a week. I meant to look at Saturday and Sunday to see if there was something there that jumped out. So yes, Saturday, yes, Sunday. Okay, so I didn't even look at those 2 days. I don't know why I didn't, but I'll hold this here so I can look at those. So Tuesday, today, we've already talked about tomorrow, the moon, when we get up, will be in Gemini and having moved out of the void and into the sign of communication and of the mind and of our motion, moving forward, you know, moving, just being in motion. Tuesday, so that's the moon in Gemini. Then on Wednesday, Mercury, the ruling planet of Gemini, who is slowing down, right, to meet up with his retrograde cycle here next week, will oppose Uranus. Now, there's something interesting, I think, that happens between Mercury and Uranus, and that is, you know, we're of two minds, right? We have our mind, that's our lower mind, if you will, the one that thinks and compares and contrasts and analyzes data, that is represented by Mercury, right? Mercury, that level of the mind. Uranus, on the other hand, is the higher mind, the mind that is closer to inspiration from spirit or the cosmos and can, in a moment's notice, be attracting to us stellar insights, right? Ahas, revelations, just the energy of motion, to move with our higher self and not our lower mind, right? The lower mind we need, don't get me wrong. The ego resides there. The thinking processes reside there. So we definitely have to have that as a part of our experience. But when Mercury opposes Uranus, we might be of two minds. How upfitting is that with Gemini, a sign of the twins, two things, duality, right? This is a day today anyway of duality. But we've been, you know, sitting here on a planet of duality. So our two minds may be moving in different directions, but bringing us maybe some new insights and things like that. So that's tomorrow, or that's Wednesday's energy. Thursday, we begin a new human design week, where we're now seeing the sun and earth moving forward, the sun moving forward to the next gate of the spleen, which is the gate 57, the gate of intuition, the gate of clarity, right? The gate of knowing what happens in the future, of seeing ahead. And the earth will be at the gate 51, the gate of shock, the gate of initiation, the gate that kind of prods us sort of to move forward because of something, that some shocking news or something that we hear about. And it's a possibility that, you know, there might be some awakening going on through all of humankind over the next week. And remember, it's not that long after the Earth leaves the gate 51, like one or two days, then Mars in retrograde will sit at that gate for a very long time, sort of taking us through the awakening of the people here on the planet. Now, we don't have to have that happen through shock, but often it is some kind of a shocking event, some kind of something we didn't see coming that initiates us to move forward in a new way. And that can happen to us as individuals. It can happen to us collectively. This gate, by the way, the gate 51 is a part of the mystical circuit in human design. And so it takes us to part of our hero's quest, right? As humans, part of our journey to be more inspirited. And the gate 51, then that shock can also be called awakening. And that gate leads us up to the identity center at the gate 25, the gate of universal love. So shock has a purpose, right? It's not to make you upset or to, you know, throw your life into chaos. It's so that you will move more forcefully and more fully in bringing the ego parts of ourselves to the heart part of ourselves, to the soul, right? So we're joining those two pieces that have separated within us, right? We're healing the breach, as it were. And so that will be a long period of time, but beginning on Thursday with the Earth sitting there and then Mars getting there a little bit later. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, likely days that are going to be peppered by the Mars square Pluto. I think every astrologer sees Mars square Pluto as dangerous, as possibly chaotic, turbulent, all those shadows rolled into one, right? Shock and awe and power struggles, conflict, competition, all rolled into that particular energy. Mars is in retrograde, so maybe it is just the next step along a shock we've already had. Pluto in Capricorn still causing that dive through the underworld, right? That what we need to let go of to expose things, right? The unsustainable nature of things to us. So power struggles, this is victim energy in its almost worst, right? This is that dark alley with the hairs prickling on the back of your neck because you just know something is about to happen. So there's that. So we have to be careful with this energy. Be very conscious and aware and in your bodies, because we don't know for certain how this is going to play out, right? We've had many, I mean, this isn't an energy that happens all that often. Every couple of years, of course, Mars does come into a square with Pluto. This happens to be one where it is one for the record books almost kind of thing, right? We have a lot going on, enemies perhaps being exposed to us, crime, victim mentality, victim energy, power struggles and conflicts, all right there in our faces. So Mars is retrograde in Aries, while Pluto is now forward as of yesterday in the sign of Capricorn. So look to where those two energies are in your chart personally, and that may be where you might be affected by this energy. So just taking care on Friday as it leads us into Saturday, which in my calendar of days, you know, this one that I sent out to all of you guys earlier is red, right? Red over here, Janet, there we go, red. And that means it is a very arduous sort of day. Let's take a look here. It is now Venus trine Uranus. That may be because of, maybe it's in red because of possibilities of upsets to relationships. The moon that day is in Cancer, squaring Mars, opposing Pluto, opposing Saturn. So where we start the week in an ease between the moon and those planets in Capricorn, we soon get to the end of the week where we have an opposition between the moon, Pluto, and Saturn, oppositions, tug of wars, and then the square to Mars. So we have, oh wow, okay, so we have Mars squaring Pluto on Friday, then we have Mars squaring the moon on Saturday. So we have emotions in it, maybe an emotional reaction to something that happens later in the week. And then on Sunday, the 11th, also a red day with the sun squaring Jupiter, the moon squaring Uranus, and also Mercury. So I'd say, yeah, there's some high energy drama potential toward the end of the week. Is it anything new? Something we haven't already experienced? I kind of doubt it. I kind of feel like there's maybe there's more to the story of Trump's coronavirus in the hospital at the moment that we're not hearing about. Maybe there's other people who've been infected by that as well. Who knows? I don't even want to venture to guess, just because it could be so many different things. Maybe it's more economic news. Hard to say about this, but I would just say be watchful. Stay in your body, stay conscious, watch out for reactions, right? Don't get into reactive energy. Just be in the moment and do whatever needs doing in that moment. And if it's not you, and I think what we're seeing now for the next several weeks is more about a social structure change that, we're preparing, let's say, for a new social structure, and one that is maybe balancing the more conservative with the more liberal. If we came into the middle, what would that be? That might be hard to access for us in the moment, but I would say that the universe is moving us in that direction to accept more of that medium road with some ideals. Right? The time that we're going into is a time of idealism. Idealism, by its very nature, is more liberal, is more open to change, is more forward-looking, right? That's the energy of where we're headed. What's in the past is the more conservative, shut down, and limited viewpoint of the way the world should work. So we're at the cusp of that change. But one thing that we've learned, hopefully, is that everything that we do moving forward has to be sustainable, has to be our being a good steward of the energy, of our resources, of our time, and being caring in that we are caring for one another through this. What's the most caring thing? What's the most loving thing to do, or the most loving way to be? So we're getting to the end, guys. We're getting to the end of this year anyway. Next year presents its own fun and its own, you know, issues, but we're not there yet. So I don't think we need to worry so much about where are we going. For the meantime, just these next few weeks, where we're going is the important thing for us to think about. All right, I'm going to take a look over here at YouTube, see how everybody's doing with this. And Kathleen, good morning. Asa, let's see what else is happening. Yeah, Asa's birthday's coming up. Sylvester says, my moon sign is Gemini. So you're coming to a new moon, a personal new moon, if you will. And that it looks like we have quite a few Libras in here. And let's see, Sunday is Asa's birthday. Next Tuesday is my husband's birthday. We're all, my whole family is seemingly having birthdays here in the next few weeks. Yesterday was my nephew's birthday. And then I have three grandchildren whose birthdays in Libra. Wow. Just the number just goes, makes me go, woo. All right. So Christine, everybody, welcome to the show this morning. Thank you very much. If you are enjoying the video, please hit the thumbs up button. And if you are someone who wants to share this with people, please share, subscribe, ask your friends to subscribe. We're still on the way to our 1,000 mark. And thank you for all of your support. I really appreciate that. Now let's take a look at the Pleiadian Earth energy, because yesterday was the one day, right? We started a new round in the cosmic consciousness of evolution. Or evolution of consciousness. And we started yesterday at one planting, which in the Mayan calendar was Khan, represented by a little seed of corn, right? Planting a seed. So the planting energy was about what are we starting? What's new? What's possible? And in planting energy, before we get to the plant coming up, is the struggle for the plant to move through the seed husk, right? To be able to move through. So we have struggle before we get to see the benefits of the planting energy. So over this 13-day period of time, a seed yesterday was planted. What does that seed planting mean? And what does it take? How long does it take us to see what the results of that are? Well, first we have to get through the other 12 days. And today is two moving energy. Moving energy in the Mayan calendar was Chichun. And Chichun was the representation of the snake and or the serpent or the dragon, if you will, and how that moves through and undulates through our life as a healing and a wounding and a healing and a wounding. And in order to grow, we have to shed our skin. Right? That moving energy, you have to shed the old in order to be able to expand. So what are we, as a model for today, willing to let go of in order to expand, right? That's always the good question. What can we let go of in order to expand? Now, the energy of the earth, I mean, the universal energy of the day is two, which is about duality. This is where the unity of one splits into two. Right? This is where our concept of separation gets really crazy here through the human viewpoint, as then we have us and other, right? Me and you, we're separate and we see from different points of view. And we've, you know, taken that to the nth degree as humans and made that difference of viewpoint into something that is a struggle or a conflict or a competition even. separation and judging of one another. So we've misused the energy of duality here on this planet. So days like today give us the opportunity to heal that breach, to really look at duality as our just being able to see from a different point of view. How boring would it be if everything was always just one point of view? So we come here in order to see other viewpoints, to see what it might be like. What's that saying? Grass is greener on the other side, but is it really? So we get to go over to that viewpoint and look over this way and say, oh, wow, I kind of like my viewpoint. And I come back over here and I go, wow, but there's something to be said about over here. And we are in a process then of being able to grow and expand again, instead of to contract down, which is often what duality has done for human beings. Instead of the more expansive energies, it's become the more judgmental separation tool of the planet. So we are here in a day like today where we may see that we have the opportunity to use the energy of two in a cooperative way, right? To be able to see others' values and to be able to see the value in others in ways that we don't normally get to see that, and getting to try on other people's point of view, right? To see things from a different perspective. And the inability to do that then will be exposed to us through the conflicts that may show up in our world in during the day, whether it's in your own personal world or whether you're seeing it in the outer world. That conflict out there shows you where we have not yet worked through the concept of duality and what does it mean for us. Moving energy is about exploring differences and moving into new territory. But what happens when, especially when you bring the energy of two and moving together, is that what shows up is the conflicts, right? The inner conflicts come to the surface for us to be able to see and heal through, to be dealt with, right? Otherwise, they just stay under the surface and, you know, become those little stabs in the back, or become the self-sabotage that's behind, you know, the scenes. So today, on a day like today, they come up to the surface. So if you personally are being triggered by something today, it's your day to look at it, to understand it, to ask it, what is it showing me, about you, about my beliefs in the world, about what's happening, about where I'm off kilter, where I'm off to the left or the right, and I need to come to the center, all of that, right? So using the energy in a positive way, not beating yourself or someone else up for their difference in their point of view, right? Because we're all right. Nobody's wrong. We're all right. We are all right. Doesn't, because who is going to tell, who's the judge? Who is the judge, right? Except for ourselves. And if that's kind of a self-defeating position to take, right? So we have to be open to understanding that there are many viewpoints. It's like when you look in a kaleidoscope. Have you ever had a kaleidoscope and you look through it and you see all these different fractals and colors, and you turn it one way and they move and they create a new pattern? That's who we all are, right? That kaleidoscope of humanity, the tapestry that without one piece would not be right, right? It wouldn't be right. It would be somehow missing something, right? So there you have that. All right, questions, comments. How's everybody doing out there? Asa, I don't see any questions popping up here. Of course, I don't even know if I do have my phone on. Very good. So if anybody has any questions or comments, let me know. Kathleen, I have T-squares in Capricorn and Aquarius, I think. So here you are, right? You're right in the middle of all of this. Right? In your own personal life, you're being challenged to rise to the times, right? To bring out your gifts and to, and maybe even your life has been a series of disappointments lately, or craziness over the last couple of years, where you're just being triggered to make a movement, right? To do something different. Camilla, hello. And Kathleen says, I was too late. I'm not sure what that's at. I'm trying to learn to stay in my center. It feels good to me when I can. Right. It does. It feels really good when we can. And we always can. But we're still humans, right? We're still humans, and we're still At the effect of the emotional field, most of us have not yet learned how to keep our emotions on an even keel, right? So we're always in reaction to events or to things that are happening in the outer world, or what we think is happening to us in some way. So long-term lesson for us is all about that emotional center. That's the solar plexus mutation that's in the happening right now, where we're looking ahead at these things that we need to change within us in terms of the emotional reaction versus emotional response. All right, now I'm going to switch over and I'm going to show you the, got to find it first. Hold on, guys. I put it on downloads. I want to show you the Just Now chart through Human Design while we have the discussion about the change in the nodes. So let me bring this up. All right, everybody should be seeing the Human Design chart. This is the Human Design chart of the day. So this is called a Just Now chart on Jovian Archive, which is a site that does a lot of human design things. And as I was discussing the other day, I prefer to learn human design from the viewpoint of a more humanistic and more inclusive sort of way. This kind of human design and Jovian is a little more mechanical, not that it's wrong, it's just more mechanical. So I like to toggle between the two kinds, but the ones I really want to learn is the one that's more humanistic. But this one is a chart that tells us very clearly what's happening in the energies as we go into the week. And you'll note we had the North Node last week at the gate 12, and the South Node was at the gate 11 up here on the Ajna. That is now gone. So we no longer have that direct connection from the emotional center to the throat center. So there was a lot of emotion available for us to express, to be able to bring out, right? Now, the gate 22 is hanging with Neptune here, still connected. If you have the gate 12 in your natal chart, this line would still be connected up. For those of you who do not have gate 12 at all in your chart, you have the gate, but you don't have it defined, let's say, so there's no color there. Then this is hanging and will play out this energy of getting clear of what do our emotions mean will play out with other people. And not so easy. So it's almost like we learned a lot about emotions over the last quarter and about how we express it and about being open, understanding moods. And now we're done with that. Now you're going to go out into the world and you'll be experiencing that through other people. While all of us were learning it at one time, now it's just going to be played out on an individual basis. How much did you learn about emotions and the role it plays in your life? Good questions, right? Now, for the moment, the nodes have shifted to the gate 45 and to the gate 26. So the gate 45 is a money gate. It's called the gate of, hold on, I got to look that one up. The gate 45 now, so we have new names about with these gates. The gate 45 is called the gate of distribution. So it's a money or a resource type of gate. So the north node, the trajectory that we're moving into, the life path trajectory, is now about managing and distributing of resources. And it is the earning of the resource, but then possibly the feeling that I own those resources now, and it's up to me to decide who gets what. And so we're having to learn more about how do we share, right? Those gates, 45, and to some extent, even 21 down here at the other end that it's meeting up with, which by the way is because of the earth this week, has now completed the money line, which can create a financial struggle between people. So the 45 wants to be able to say I'm the king or the queen and I've earned the money and I get to decide how it's spent, where the gate 21 says, but I have a better hold on what needs to be spent and when it needs to be spent, because that's more of the gate of the controller, right? The controller or the bookkeeper energy. So for the rest of the week, we have this possible tug of war going on in the finances. And that can create power struggles between couples, right? Especially married couples where we have money and finances is often the biggest trigger for problems within relationships. And here it is now. It is absolutely defined for everyone. So taking a look at your finances, this is a great time to take a look at how things, what you're spending your money on, and is it sustainable? Is it supporting both of you as a couple or your family, or is it not? So those are the questions coming up with the gate 45. As well, we have the gate 26, which is here on the ego center as well. And so we have two gates off this little tiny center here, two of the four of them defined. The gate 26 is often called the gate of integrity. And we have lots of different types of integrity here that might come up. This is now completing this whole channel, 44 to 26. What's at 44 is Mercury, and Mercury is going to be standing at this gate for a little bit of time. It is linked to the spleen, the energy of fear. Potentially, the fear in the gate 44 is that the past will repeat itself. It has a lot of baggage attached to it. In highest, it's about taking the best of the past and being able to bring it up forward, use it in a way that creates a new source of resources for the tribe. It's tribal energy, in other words. So we have quite a bit of tribal energy sitting here. And the tribe's energy, if we look at the tribal circuit, it's all about love. The love, it's love in the terms of human love, but also how do we care for one another? Right? Caring for one another through integrity and caring through finances. So we have two big themes popping up, at least for the first, you know, several days of the week. 45 and 26 stay in effect through till the winter solstice. So around there. So we'll have another shift then, but for right now we have the 45 and the 26. So we'll take this apart more as we go through the week, but it's a very powerful energy. And defined like this, we can expect that we may hear some financial news. The world will reflect, you know, a changing dynamic in the financial world, right? In resources and how we care for one another using our resources, including money. All right, what else is happening here? We see that the gate 51 is not yet defined. Mars right now is still sitting at 42. And this is the gate of completion. What are we completing with? And he will soon shift over here to gate 51 and show us where it is we didn't complete something we should have over the next several weeks after that. So on one hand, I feel like this is like some excitement that's coming for all of us. But on the other hand, I sit back and I'm like, a lot of people aren't going to like that level of excitement, right? It's going to be turning people's lives upside down a bit. So I fully expect that I'm going to hear from a lot of people over the next couple of weeks as things begin to turn topsy-turvy, and that things that used to make sense don't. If that isn't already happening in your life, you are so lucky. And remember that the spleen energy is for us long-term being triggered. Right now, the sun at the gate 48 triggering us in inadequacy. And now that we know that we've got Mercury sitting long-term at 44, what are we letting go of in the past, right? That's the biggest struggle, perhaps, is our needing to let go of some things, beliefs and patterns, especially patterns. The gate 44 used to be called the gate of patterns, because it's a gate where we can recognize, we sort of see the handwriting on the wall, steps, signs leading us to something that happened in the past, and feeling like we're able to predict what will happen in the future based on what we're seeing from our experiences in the past. Yet that is not an equivalent statement, right? The past does not always repeat itself in the same way. And as soon as we recognize that the past is trying to repeat itself, then we have the opportunity, even the responsibility. Whoa, that just reminded me of something about a dream I had last night, to let go of that past. Right? We don't have to go back there. And to just connect this to a dream, I just remember in my dream, I had the word responsibility down my left arm. like I was wondering, why do I have that big, why, like it was a tattoo or written. Weird, huh? That just came to me as I was talking about that. I do have my generation, my people born right around the time I was in 1961. So I think it was from April until October of 1961. Neptune was sitting at our gate 44. And that means that if you were born in that time period, that a part of the role, your spiritual challenge, if you will, or your spiritual job, should you choose to elect to do so, is about recognizing what's hanging around your neck from the past, gaining the lessons and the insights from the past, and bringing it up forward to be able to create a new future. So it's like we all see signs, right, where something reminds us of a time in the past. And, you know, I can see right now in my own life, a pattern that's starting to repeat itself and me thinking to myself, no, I don't have to go that route, right? I don't have to repeat that pattern. It does not have to be the same way. And it's only my thought that it is going to be that way that would hold it to that. So we have all of us collectively then looking at what maybe we're seeing in the moment that is a memory of something maybe that's happened in the past, and are being willing to break that pattern, to step out of that pattern, right? To make a new integrity. It's connected to the gate of integrity, right? And that might mean having to step out into a different comfort zone, stepping out of your comfort zone, as it were, right? Getting the boot, pushing you out into a new reality. All right. Questions, comments. How's everybody doing out there, Asa? Adrienne, good morning. She says, greeting friends, late to the party, but happy new week all. Thank you very much. Sylvester, I feel completely, I have several planets in Capricorn. Yay. Kathleen, I'm trying to learn to stay in my center. Oh, okay. I think we read that one too. Yeah. Staying in your center, but not cutting off the rest, right? That's the other important thing, is you don't want to cut yourself off from everything else that's happening. You want to stay in your own center, because from there, that's where you really can find truth and peace and serenity, even in the midst of the maelstrom, the chaos and the craziness of the outer world. But you don't want to cut yourself off from it. You just want to stay in your center, because from there, you're in the driver's seat, right? You're driving the vehicle. So if you're driving the vehicle from your center, then you're staying in your lane. You're continuing down that highway of your life without veering off because some, you know, shiny bauble shows up over there, or some trauma happens over here, and you're being pulled in these different directions, you know? So just being aware of what is your center, and yet staying aware of what's happening in around you, so that you can avoid the pitfalls, right? The stumbling blocks. All right, guys, that is it for me today. I think I will draw us. I just felt like this at the last second, that we need a spirit animal and that we need a dragon for us for the week. I love doing this. And let me get back to Zoom. Nope, not that Zoom. This one. There we go. So that I can make sure I'm showing the card. And let's see what animal wants to guide us through the energies of this week. How's everybody out there feeling? Are you feeling that subtle something going on, but not overt? We get Grandmother Spider. Spider Spirit says, make your dreams real. Card number 56, which is an 11. Spider Spirit. I call it Grandmother Spider because that's another deck of cards I'm sure I have, or something else I've read before. And it was upright. So we have an empowerment situation. 56, Spider. Okay, so Spider Spirit says, weaving your dreams into the fabric of life begins with a single thread of intention, and then spirit joins you as your co-weaving partner. Take but a single step to make your dream a reality, and spirit will take 10 toward you. Love it. For the universe is designed to support your dream weaving. Spider spirit arrives when you need reminding of the awesome power of co-creation with spirit. Ideas and resources will begin to appear as if by magic as you begin to bring your dreams from the realm of intention into the world of the senses where they take form. The action you need to take is to be clear about your intentions and then act as if you have become the one that lives the life you desire. It's like trying on an outfit and then being it, right? The web of creation has an uncanny way of coming together to weave the beautiful pattern you set into motion. Another message of spider spirit is about any creative project you may be considering: writing, painting, music, journaling, gardening, etc. Now is the time when inspiration wants to be channeled through you as something creative, even artistic and tangible. Creative projects are successful now if you are so inclined. Let yourself be open to abundance. Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. Now, dragons. Let's see what dragon wanted to be with us today or the week. Put two cards in there backwards. Oh, Lord. Let's see here. Now we have, somebody got this on Friday and I don't remember who it was. The Sunshine Yellow Dragon helps you to help animals, serve animals, heal, respect, and understand them. The Sunshine Yellow Dragon. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Let's see. I've got the book here. Sunshine. I don't remember what number that was. Sorry. Number 68. There we go. Now, about the Sunshine Yellow Dragon, it says, we share our planet with a great variety of creatures who are all on a soul journey just as we are. Like us, animals come from a myriad of star systems and planets. They all incarnate on Earth to experience, learn, teach, and serve. Our task as humans is to cooperate with, look after, and learn from the animal kingdom. Fifth dimensional Sunshine Yellow Dragons work with Archangel, Felia, the angel of animals. They send bursts of sunny yellow light into the auras of those of us who love and honor animals and help us assist and heal all creatures. They are currently working assiduously to touch the hearts of those who need to understand how to treat animals with respect. They also bathe animals in their sunshine yellow light to soothe and heal them so that they can fulfill their soul's destiny. Drawing this card invites you to open your aura and allow Sunshine Yellow Dragons to pour light into you, containing the keys and codes to understand at a profound level all the creatures of this planet. Nice. Then send these dragons to all humans who need to change their relationship with animals. See the minds and hearts of those people blazing glorious yellow as they expand their perspective and see animals for who they truly are. It is also important to visualize all the animals in the world being touched by Sunshine Yellow Dragons and lighting up with hope. Be a sunshine yellow bridge of light along which those dragons can travel to help animals everywhere. You will accrue good karma as you assist your fellow creatures. Wow, that's an interesting dimension to the week. Not sure how all of that fits in yet, but I'm sure it will be revealed. I get this one, spider. I'm not sure how sunshine yellow dragons fits yet. It's all right. We'll find out. All right, everybody. That is it for me today. Take care. I will see you all tomorrow.